Tantra isn't really telling people ever what to do. It only makes invitations. So as a spiritual system, it's one of the only spiritual systems that's not saying you do this, you do that, you're going to find some sort of result. Instead, it just makes a series of large invitations to experience your life in a different way. Sexuality being one of those, knowing that it's rocket fuel.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Sex Upgraded Podcast, a podcast for men all about sex, where we'll combine real, authentic, and down-to-earth conversations about sex, life, and relationships with some pretty wild personal stories and practical how-to episodes as well, with guest experts from around the world to help you have the most amazing sex life you can possibly have. My name is Taylor, and I'll be your host on this journey, and it's my goal with each episode to give you practical, actionable things you can start doing today to improve your sex life and your entire life, because a thriving sex life will help you thrive in all areas of your life. So let's begin today's episode by starting with a deep breath in through the nose into the belly together. Exhaling with an audible sigh. And let's get into today's episode. So I recently asked a really popular Facebook group all about sacred sexuality. I asked them, hey, is there anybody out there in the world who can speak on Tantra, and specifically who can speak on the difference between classical Tantra and neo-Tantra, modern Tantra, tantric sexuality? And a ton of people responded, and many, many people recommended Sean Roop. Thank you, Sean, so much for being here today. I'm excited to meet you actually now for the first time and get to know you. And I'm excited to dive into all these topics with you, and specifically around men and masculinity and how those topics relate as well. I know you teach both modern Tantra, Neo Tantra, and classical Tantra too. And I just want to say welcome and thank you so much for being here. And I wonder if there's anything else you'd like to add to your introduction so people can understand who you are and where you're coming from.
Thanks, Taylor. So great to meet you too. Thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to my path and where I found Tantra, it's important to share that I started with what most people consider Tantra is a sexual system. And that's where I came in. So it was back in 1999, and I was reading a magazine around Sting and Trudy. You know, Sting, the musical artist, and his wife, Trudy. And it was that popular magazine that talked about him and Tantra. And what I read was this guy had just done this incredible concert and came off, and he was refreshed and looked like he could still do three more concerts. And the reporter was just totally flabbergasted at the fact that he was so energized after this long energetic concert. And he said, what's your trick to this? And he thought he was off the record. He says, oh, I practice this thing called Tantra. And he goes, Tantra? He goes, what is that? He goes, oh, it's like yogic sex. And off starts everything, because that got published. So when I had read that, I said, I want 8-hour sex. I want that too. where do I find 8-hour sex? And so back then it was with AOL. So I popped the word Tantra into AOL, and got a lot of inquiries back that looked a lot like prostitution, to tell you the truth, with the teachers. I took the one that looked the most legit, and I was really blessed because I actually got someone who really knew what the heck they were doing. And started me on the path. And what I went originally to learn is something very different. And as a man, it changed me forever. And I share that from a place of where I came from, which is that Tantra is this place around sexuality. And what I found out was, yes, it's around sexuality, but it's around living life well. That's actually its truest intent. And so since 2000, that teacher took me on and kind of tricked me into becoming a teacher, actually. I had no desire to start teaching. So I've been sharing Tantra all over the world since 2000. And one of the things that so inspires me is bringing Tantra to men, because mostly women are very attracted to the system itself. And the gift that Tantra has for men is so rich and so deep. And so today I'm super excited to be here. And again, for the thousands of people that I've shared, I've watched so much growth in the masculinity when there's an understanding of how to move the energy more appropriately for them, not like as a system, but for the man and how they can actually find their own energy and be free within that. And so it's a big passion to share it with all humans, but especially around men, just because it's more rare.
Awesome. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. I'm excited to get into all that. If you're open to sharing, who was the teacher who took you under your wing?
Her name was, her name was Karina. And, and so I went on to, not only teach with her, but, she became my fiance, many years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then her path was really on Neo Tantra. I found that there was a lot more going on in Tantra as my studies continued beyond what she was offering me. And then my next my guru becomes a woman named Chandra. And Chandra was a teacher who was from India but lived in Canada. And she found me, actually, which was crazy. So this woman called me up one day while I was in, I used to live on the Big Island of Hawaii. And I had an ashram, which is a place of learning or school. And I had people who had come from, again, all over the world to come work with me. And she calls me up and she basically says, I am your new teacher. It's important that you come to Canada. And I'm like, I'm a teacher myself. What are you talking about? That's all egoic. And like, I have my own thing going on. And and she's the one that really supercharged me and took me to another gear. I wish I could say that I super trusted that phone call. I didn't. It took me some realizations to get, you know, circle back and take that person on, which I'm really thankful I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps a little ego death.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. And also I was a bit of a snake oil salesperson. Like, who is this person? Like, why are you calling me? Yeah. Who are you? What's your website? Totally. She didn't have any of that stuff.
Let me cold call you. I want to teach you Tantra.
Exactly. Yeah. So
like actual Tantra.
Right. Exactly. And so that was a really beautiful initiation. And with that, she only had three students and the other two were women. So it was really rare that she was offering me her lineage, which is actually the lineage that she had to offer me, which is Mahamudra Tantra. So that's not the first Tantra. It's not the last Tantra. It's somewhere in the middle. And that's what she offered me. And so through that, it was definitely a female, it was a matriarchal lineage that was offered to me. And as a man, I constantly questioned this. And she said, because it's time that both energies receive these gifts. And again, there was another ego death in that one. I was like, really? But I don't know about me. So over the years, it's been a beautiful experience to recognize that if I get out of the way of the projections or the containers I put myself in and just move into the energy of something, which is exactly what she was inviting me to do, then of course the path's wide open.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I'd love to get into the practical stuff here in a couple of minutes, the benefits, skills, techniques, all of that. And first, also just want to frame the context a little bit more. Like one of my interest areas, in addition to all this stuff, is understanding what people are looking for. I like to do a lot of search engine optimization research and keywords to find out what people are searching for. It's fascinating to me. I did that before this interview and all. When you look up Tantra and the related terms, there's a whole list of the most popular ones. Interestingly, and not surprisingly, tantric sex pops up right under Tantra, but then there's Tantra chair, which like, I'm like, what is that? There's Tantra massage. Of course, what is Tantra? Tantra meaning is Tantra dangerous is actually a pretty popular term too. So a lot of people are like, what is this thing? Tantra massage near me, really popular. Tantric sex positions. And like, does that, hearing that list, at least when I hear that list, I think, okay, a lot of people are searching for this around the topic of sex, which makes sense. Like, I think in our society, a lot of people are craving deeper, more rich, more pleasurable, more connected, more meaningful sexual experiences, but they might not necessarily have a vocabulary to look for that. And they've heard of this thing called Tantra, kind of like you were talking about, like Sting. Oh, that's what I need.
Right.
You know? And I'd be curious to hear you speak a little bit about, well, whatever comes up for you hearing that, and then I'll have a follow-up.
So I love the query strings that you're looking at. I'm going to hit a couple of those real quick. Yes, Tantra is dangerous. I'll explore more. The tantric chair is a goofy chair that is, it looks like kind of like a day lounger. It's supposed to be like a place to have sex on, and I've had one and they're really expensive. I do not suggest anyone buy them. It's the awkward positioning. The desire to learn sex positions from Tantra is where Tantra and the Kama Sutra have been synonymously put together, and they're actually not together. So the Kama Sutra is a system all on its own. Kama meaning love, Sutra meaning teachings. So the Kama Sutra is a system that was designed by courtesans for the Raj or the kings, or very wealthy people. And it was a guide. So yes, people are really interested in the 64 positions of the Kama Sutra. But the interesting part to that is that it has all these other things in there. Like, well, here's a fun one. So if a man has ED, the suggestion in the Kama Sutra is to take a box full of bees and to place your cock or your lingam inside of that box to piss off all the bees and have them sting you simultaneously. Thus, you will find arousal.
What?
No. And you will be ribbed for her pleasure, apparently. So, wow. Yeah, that's a real thing. Huh. So there's all kinds of interesting, weird old things in there. The Kama Sutra is a trippy document. But the thing about that is deeper is that Tantra isn't really telling people ever what to do. It only makes invitations. And the reason why is it says that you can't, it can't tell you what to do. You have to figure out this path on your own. Okay. That's why it's dangerous, by the way. It's not a map. It doesn't tell you what to do. So as a spiritual system, it's one of the only spiritual systems that's not saying you do this, you do that, you're going to find some sort of result. Instead, it just makes a series of large invitations to experience your life in a different way. Sexuality being one of those, knowing that it's rocket fuel. So our sexual energy is rocket fuel for all things in life, life force. Okay. So being able to access that life force is the point to that. Now, a lot of people are sitting on their life force, like rocket fuel, you know, container, and they're not really doing a lot with it. In fact, they're not consciously understanding what they're tapped into or what's potential. And that's where Tantra comes in. It brings us to these places of saying, oh, did you know you could do this? Did you know you could do that? You could try this. And then just have your own experience. Whereas Taoism, the Chinese system, which is similar to Tantra, but it's a Chinese spin on sexuality. It tells you exactly what to do. And it says A, B, you get C. So it's very scientific. And where Tantra is much more of an art. It's an experience to have. And that's where that matriarchal nature comes in. So it's not a series of have-tos.
Interesting. Yeah. So in the Taoist system, it's like if you're 30 years old, you should ejaculate once every 10 days and then you will achieve optimal health.
You got it. Yeah. Or you only have five pints of ejaculate in your entire life. Otherwise, you're going to be sifting off of your life force from that point on. Whereas Tantra doesn't say anything about don't ejaculate. Instead, what it says is have choice in your ejaculation, because in that choice, you get to actually produce an energetic response that's appropriate when you want. And that's a really big shift in that. So again, a lot of people talk about ejaculation mastery. Like they want to learn how to maintain or control their ejaculate to be a better lover. Well, Tantra would say the reason to do that, or like the invitation in that, is to have a deeper connection to your sexual experience. So I don't know why they call it coming. It really should be called going. For a lot of people, when they ejaculate, they go away. So the point to this is to actually extend the experience and then enjoy what's happening within that experience. So you know,
and not go towards the goal of the peak pleasure.
Right. And understand that peak experience has many different levels that you can't even imagine. And that's that again, as a man, is something, because I think we learn to manipulate our bodies through self-pleasure. And then it's just an enjoyable or a supportive act, self-pleasuring.
Yeah.
Even Tantra invites a man to have a magical or more esoteric experience, a more meditative experience with even their self-pleasuring. It's just not telling you what's going to happen. It just says, there's a lot here. Enjoy the experience. Slow down.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by all the men who've gone through my trainings over the years. Thank you. You are the sponsors of this show. It could not happen without you. Two things I want to share with you real quick. Number one is my Orgasmic Mastery course. It's a 10-week journey for men to become the best lovers they can possibly be, to master their sexual energy in the bedroom, to overcome premature ejaculation, overcome erectile dysfunction, experience full-body orgasms, full-body non-ejaculatory orgasms, and to be the man who blows his lover's minds. The second course is Semen Retention Mastery. This is an intelligent lifestyle design course where you get to master the art of sexual energy transmutation and really build up your life force and direct it into your business, your creative projects, your mission, whatever it is that you want to really excel at and thrive in your life so you can live the life you truly want. So if you want to check those out, there are links in the episode description. And with all that being said, thank you again. Let's get back to today's episode.
So you said there's like all these other peak experiences possible besides a typical ejaculation. Yeah. Can you give it like an example of maybe a personal one or something that you've heard of? Like what's an alternative?
So personally for me, I ejaculate probably about every 19 to 22 days, not by practice, by that's just a cycle that seems appropriate for me. And what that means is I move my sexual energy every day, whether it's with myself or with another person. And what I'm doing is I'm actually tapping in to the life force that we all have available to us. And it's still very pleasurable and it's still super exciting, but I'm not using the typical ways that most people attain their own arousal. So in other words, I might be able to find arousal because it's like this, it's like priming the pump. So if I have a water source that's far away, and I need to keep it close to me, I need to keep this pump primed. So even when I'm not using it, there's a pump action that's happening to bring that water so that when I turn on the faucet, it just goes. Well, it's exactly the same concept. Is that I'm accessing my sexual energy because here's the gig. The second chakra, which is our genitals, and this is an energy center. So the energy center of our body, that's sexual, is also creative and emotional. So creativity, emotionality, sexuality, these are all twined together. So when my life gets all wonky or I'm in the weather of life, creativity is the way out of it. Creativity is the gig, man. So I want to be able to access my creativity freely, but I also want to have access to my emotions. So if I'm ejaculating, here's the deal, is I'm actually ejaculating my unresolved emotions with that fluid. Fear, shame, guilt, sadness, anger. Good for me. Yay. I don't have it inside my body. Problem is where am I sharing that? Where would I be sharing my unresolved anger as I ejaculate? Is it in the person I love? Is it the person I adore? Is it a person I'm super attracted to? And I'm just hot injecting it straight into someone's, their mouth or their vagina. And it's like this access of understanding this. No one ever taught me that. No one ever shared that with me. So,
interesting.
So the reason why I hold it is because, well, it's simple. Like, it's like this. So two people come together and they want to have sex. Okay. So they're having sex. They're having a really good time. All right. And then let's say it's a heterosexual relationship. And so here they are, they're having sex and all of a sudden she has an orgasm. She's going to pop off and she's going to have an orgasm that's just going to kind of micro orbit and then she'll reintegrate in. But when the masculine has an orgasm, he orgasms and shoots way off into the distance. And it takes time to come back to because the orbit is so much further. So it takes time to come back into that configuration. And so what I have found is that you can actually bring yourself to a peak and hold that level of peak and the body will start to respond with what's called Kriya Vati. Kriya means joyful, Vati means thunder, the joyous thunder. And it's these jolts that come from your abdomen that sit in the lower back. And it's these bubbles of energy that kind of reverberate through your body. Kind of look like you're spazzing, but they're actually considered an orgasm. And so that's where men become multi-orgasmic. So there's not ejaculate releasing, but all the hormones are still dropping, which is cuckoo. So you're still getting all the wash and the beauty of an orgasmic experience, but without the energetic release. And so it's about like when I was a child, I peed and pooed in my pants. I had to learn what it felt like to get to that point so that I could stop it. So I had to learn my body. I had to understand and listen to the different signs that my body was offering me. So then I can go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to choose when to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with ejaculate. It's still a body response. And unfortunately, most people are just an unconscious response. It's an unconscious experience. So to bring consciousness to it is to ride that in a different way.
Totally. And I'm not hearing you say I'm anti-ejaculation. No, I'm hearing you say like, yes, have ejaculation, enjoy it. Just be
aware,
intentional with it. Don't get sucked into it unconsciously. I'd like, you said Kriyavati for the non-ejaculatory orgasmic experiences. I'd love to just like go into that a little bit more. Right. So many different directions we could go, but tell me about that. Is that like for you when you have those experiences, is that something that's like, it's clearly definable when it starts and ends, or is it more of a wave you can enter into, or what is that?
Endless wave.
Like, would somebody know? Okay.
Endless wave.
Would you know that's happening when it's happening?
Yeah. And that it takes a moment again for a person to slow down enough while they're in arousal to actually get to that nuanced place of where this is coming from. But I'll go back to Chandra. Okay. Chandra was a crazy guru, crazy teacher. Okay. And so she says, she would tell me, we're only three breaths away from full breath or full body orgasm from Kriyavati. We're only three breaths from that. And so I remember I was like, okay, I really want to try this. And she's like, there's no try. So I was like, okay, but I'm gonna do this. Like, okay. She said, just be, stop trying. I sat and I would just take a deep breath in, close my eyes, get very meditative and very focused. And try to access this area. And then all of a sudden I feel this searing burn across my face. And I'm like, I just got slapped. And I opened my eyes. She goes, what are you doing? You're trying too hard. And what she was trying to say was, this is something that's so natural that it's finite. It's not this big, chunky experience. It's sitting there waiting for you to go say, hello. Hi, and it's in the sacrum. It just sits at the sacrum. It activates from the abdomen. So with some breath and slowing down, what happens is if you just start to bring your awareness to that area, you can actually start to feel there's a release occurring, like this letting go of all of this energy that's dormant inside of us. That's what it is. Now, it's much easier to do that when you're aroused because you've just primed the pump. So you have instant access to that area. You can do it without being aroused. So I can have full body orgasms very easily because I know exactly where to go to. Everyone's a little bit different exactly where it's at. I'm giving the targeted area to start looking towards. But that's where the politeness is sitting. That's where the fear is sitting. That's where the doubt, our sexual doubt sits, is it's the base of the sacrum. And that those little dimples in the back of your back, the small of your back, there's this teeming energy bubbling, waiting to move. And that's what it is. And so the jolts, they kind of look like you're doing a crunch. That's what it kind of looks like. And what's happening is you're actually releasing dormant energy. There's popping, these bubbles popping, and there's like a little explosion that occurs. So when I tell people when I share with people how to start this or how to begin this, deep breaths in, and on the exhale, just do like a crunch, just like kind of like just jolt yourself really hard, like you're about to get punched in the stomach. You just kind of, you jolt it in and you do it again. And all of a sudden you're going to feel in the back of the spine where that sits. And then you don't have to do the jolt. You just take a deep breath in and you let go, and something amazing starts to occur.
Can you say that one more time? So I take a deep breath in and then I like do a little mini crunch.
Yeah, just imagine you're just holding yourself if someone's about to punch you. You know, just kind of like hold your crunch in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you let it go. It's just a bounce. It's like a little bounce. You take this deep breath in, and on the exhale, you just bounce it out. And then you do that for a few moments, and then you're going to start to feel in the small of your back, this little tingle, this little access, something's happening back there. So then you begin to focus on that area. You bring your awareness to that area and you begin to, again, deep breath in. And on the exhale, allow that area to let go. And what starts to happen is these kriyavatis happen without you trying. They just start releasing. And then they might be smaller. It might be way smaller than what, you know, that kind of like forceful activity was, which is like, oh, I'm going to crunch my abs. But they start to just move. So like there's some happening with me because I'm bringing myself to that. So they're just there. Now,
it's a mix of effort and allowing.
Well,
like you can't just like,
yeah, you can. You can do it without the effort. The effort is because people may not have access to that. So what the effort is to kind of laser beam the target area. So it's putting that laser on the target. That's the idea here. So I'm not trying right now. It just happens all on its own. It's weird. Mm. Now, here's the problem. It's really great and it's easy to access, but it's not so appropriate in society. Just walk around and be like, hey, what's going on, Taylor? You know, it looks weird. It's hard to drink coffee. It's a weird experience. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we bring it into the place of what would it look like if we were in sexual energy while doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So bringing the sexual energy component to that piece. That's the idea. When you're aroused, this is a lot easier to do. Mm. And there's context for why it's happening.
I remember just a quick aside story. I went to one of my first experiences diving into Tantra or Neo Tantra, modern Tantra, whatever you want to call it, was, I don't know, maybe two. It was years ago, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't remember exactly, but I did a month-long retreat, residential retreat in Thailand. Yep. And in around the second week or so, like a number of people in the retreat, like when we were doing exercises, they would start to have these spasms, like these full body sort of things. And I remember thinking like, oh, they're just faking it. Like they're just trying to show like they're having these experiences. That's right. Like that's fucking weird. That doesn't make sense at all. But then about, you know, maybe the end of the third week, like it started happening for me too. It's like, this is crazy. I thought they were just full of shit.
Right.
Wow. That's
right.
And it actually feels really good. And I do remember at one point, like I was in this exercise and I wasn't sexually aroused. Right. I wasn't touching my genitals, but I was doing this thing. I was actually standing with wide legs and there was a bouncing going on, but I was focusing on my sacrum and it did start to feel like my sacrum was ejaculating.
That's right.
It was crazy. It was a crazy experience. Right. And I was like, is this what they're talking about? This is nuts.
That's it. So, it was awesome. So most men have already experienced this. It's that just before ejaculation, there's like that, those little contractions that occur. And and that's like the pre ejaculation state. So these will naturally move. And that shows how much dynamic energy happens when we're in such an aroused place. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of men get all tripped up because what they'll do is they'll be intoxicated with that feeling. They'll just keep going until there's a release. Well, and in this particular practice, and this is why it's great to start it with no sexual arousal, is because it's easier to focus on just the sacrum and that finite energy rather than the pleasure power of an ejaculation, because it's so beautiful and so powerful, you know, and it's easy to get to. Until you start to really recognize that you actually do have a choice of when you want to ejaculate and when you don't.
And that it actually could potentially be much better for your life if you didn't.
And some of the benefits of that is a deeper connection, not only to yourself, but to the partners you're with. That's number one. Number two, it actually starts to wash the vision, inner and outer vision. So there's an ability to start to increase, this sounds a little woo, but psychic ability will start to crack and open up a bit more. And there's also more access to wisdom that lives within you. And the final one, which I think is so, so crazy important, is emotionality. It actually gives more access to your emotions. And
why is that useful? Shouldn't we just be pushing those away?
Yeah. So good job on the whole typical narrative there. about emotions. Emotions are gifts. They're like these these treasured gifts. And so if I'm just running them as if they're just kind of pinging off me, and of course I wouldn't want to hang with them. But if I start to recognize that each one of these emotions can take me to deeper awareness in my life, to a deeper spiritual experience, to have more connection with the people around me in this life, then all of a sudden I'm not fumbling and bumbling and basically making a trail of devastation in my wake because I don't have emotional availability. Every ejaculation, and I didn't realize this, but when I was a kid, I was a crazy dramatic drama queen. And I cried really big and I fought really big and I was just this crazy kid. And then all of a sudden I started self-pleasuring at whatever age I was, probably around 12. And then I started to ejaculate. Mm-hmm. And as I was ejaculating, everything felt calm again, to the point where my mom said, "Are you on the pot?" Because I changed so hard. I changed so much that she was convinced I was smoking out.
Are you smoking the reefer?
Right.
Yeah.
Are those Mary Jane cigarettes in your room? And no, what it was me just masturbating because I didn't recognize what was going on, which I didn't have to hold all that pressure inside of me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But no one taught me as a boy how to deal with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Crying.
And so because the emotions built up, it was like that was like the body needed to pressure. Release, right? The emotions needed, and it built up pressure. Yeah. And the easiest, most default way to do that is ejaculate.
Sure. Or ball up the fist and punch, or let the tears come down, or let the frustration just eat me. Right. Mm-hmm. So of course, yay, Sean found ejaculation is no longer a crazy kid. Right. But I didn't realize what would happen is then I started engaging with women and I didn't know what I was doing, which was basically deploying my unresolved emotions into them. Okay. And now we wonder why like the women of the world are emotionally heavy or like they have like they're too emotional. And it's because A, they don't have a relief valve, and B, they might be taking or receiving other people's junk. It's not even theirs. So for me, just thinking of energetically safe sex is about me saying, I'm choosing not to give my unresolved emotions to someone. Because a condom's not going to stop this, by the way. This is an energetic sharing.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'd rather not do that to people I'm enjoying myself
with. Totally. Yeah, for sure. So just a couple of things to hit on. When I think back to the most impactful, amazing, pleasurable sexual experiences I've ever had, like a number of them, they've all happened in the sexual experience after I've made the conscious choice. Well, after I've had the desire to ejaculate and the hook and the pull towards ejaculation, and I paused and I said, oh, not now or not yet. Maybe I did have an ejaculation later in that sexual experience, but it was the defining decision point to not ejaculate in that moment where the first, you know, the physical desire came up that then opened the doors to all these other really amazing, like mind-blowing, beautiful, multi-orgasmic sexual experiences, like heart open, like tears in the sexual experience with my partner. Like all of that happened when I chose to not ejaculate. And then, you know, fast forward years and years and years more, like I don't, like I can get to some of those places now without having that first step. But like, that was a huge step in my journey, was learning to make that decision point. Like, oh, actually, no, I'm going to choose not to do this and see what else happens. Just going to see, I'm just going to be open to what else happens. And when that pressure was taken away, when that directionality or goal was taken away, then there was like, whoa, there's so much more here that I didn't know was possible.
So you
just wanted to share that.
So what you're expressing is a very tantric concept, which is stepping into the unknown, not the known, to the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And every single sexual act has the ability to surprise you in awe. The question is, are you repetitive? Are you patterned? Are you just following the same thing that you know that works? There's not a lot of adventure in that. I can walk around my neighborhood and not get lost. And I don't have to really be like, I don't have to be really activated to be around my neighborhood. It's just, I walk around my neighborhood and I go home. Like, I know what I'm doing. But if I go to the forest, I have to turn on my senses. I have to be much more alive because I don't know what I'm going to be dealing with. I have to be much more turned on to life. And it's the same concept around our sexuality. So if I'm just running my fantasy, if I'm just running my pattern, if I'm just running my behaviors, I'm going to have a very similar kind of safe but boring experience at the end of the day, which is why then some people have to add more kink or more fantasy in, because what they're doing is they're trying to give them a taste back to that oomph around their sexuality by slowing down, by not choosing to do the same thing all the time. You grant yourself access to a whole nother experience of your sexuality. And that's what makes a masterful lover. That's what men really want to be, is masterful lovers. So slowing down and not repeating patterns, not following the map, staying in the unknown, the adventurer. That's where that mastery comes in.
Yeah. Being open to the unknown. Yeah. I love that. I love the way that you spoke to that. And yeah, being open to the mystery.
Right.
Like, that's a skill in and of itself. Yes. Like being able to separate from the objective and be open to the mystery. It reminds me, years ago, I surveyed hundreds and hundreds of women about their experiences with men around ejaculation and ejaculatory control and sex, et cetera. And I asked them, hey, have you ever been with a man who could last as long as he wanted? Because for a lot of guys, they think like that's the holy grail of sex. Right. And it was something, it's like 90% of women have been, the women who responded had been with a man who could last as long as they wanted. And then I asked a follow-up question and I asked, what was that experience like for you? And please describe it. And I got all these responses written out and I went through with highlighters and color coded them. And it was really surprising to me at the time, but 90% of the women who had had sex with a man who could last as long as he wanted, they said it was a bad experience. That's right. They said it was a negative experience. And they said it was because he seemed like he was just doing the technique. He was performative, or he wanted to show me that he could last forever, or he was trying to force me, like give me an orgasm, those sort of things. And it was interesting because the other 10%, it was a strong polarity between these two. Like the other 10% of women who had been with a man who could last as long as he wanted, they said it was one of the most amazing, mind-blowing, pleasurable, connective sexual experiences they had ever had in their entire life. And the difference was that they said that these men, this 10% of men, could be connected with them. They were present. They didn't have objectives. They didn't have goals. They were attuned to the moment with them. And they could also be in their ease in the sexual experience. And they had learned how to not default to ejaculation. And this was like these sexual experiences that the women described were like magnificent and mind blowing, you know? And I just thought that was, wow, this is such a beautiful, beautiful nugget to see that like, oh, lasting forever actually isn't the goal. And in fact, it could end up giving you a lot of really bad sexual experiences where you're not having good sex with people.
We have to go to the place of, if you really want to understand tantric sexuality, you have to do one thing: redefine sex. You have to redefine the whole thing. If you want to understand tantric teachings around sexuality, current Western ideas around sexuality will not fit. And this is the problem with my peers. And this is the problem with a lot of individuals who are exploring this path, is because they haven't redefined what sex is. Okay. So what you were
redefine it.
Yeah. What you were tapping into in that stat and those questions that you're asking of people was that women really desire depth and connection. They don't care about orgasm. I mean, of course they care about orgasm, but what I'm saying is that's not the peak of the experience. The peak of the experience is how deep and how connected they can get. That's what they're really seeking, because there's a point to it. And then orgasms are the residual to it. They're the gift or the rewards of that experience of depth. And so I didn't realize this. I only thought about technique. I only thought about like, how many more things can I do? That's going to take me out of the game. Okay. So if we think about sports, like a person who's mastering their sport, it doesn't look like they're mastering their sport because they're so fluid with it. It's so effortless. It doesn't look like they're practicing something. They're floating through the air and dunking this ball, and it doesn't look like they did anything other than just like fly.
Yeah.
Right? Or their swing is so perfect, the ball just like, you know, it just goes out. And like, what? They didn't do anything. Like, I look at Otani, it's like, what? How's that guy hit the ball so hard? He's not doing anything. It's the same. It's the same thing. It's like the more effort I put towards something, the less I'm going to be connected to the experience because I'm efforting in it.
Totally. But, and all those sports people you talked about, they didn't just happen to immediately all of a sudden be experts at what they're doing, right? They put a lot of effort in and practice.
And that's where the metaphor does fall a little bit, because in Tantra, it does talk about the practice is not it's going to get you there. This is interesting because it says you're already in the game. So I used to ask for like more practices. And the guru would basically, again, be frustrated with me and say, it's like you're trying to shoot three throws or practice free throws when you're in the game. You're already in the game. This is a daily, everyday experience. So instead of trying to set aside time to practice it, Tantra is trying to say, do it all the time. All the time. So those kriyavatis I was talking about, if you're sitting in your car on a long drive, have some kriyavati. While you're in the shower, just open up your body, start breathing, letting go. Mm. When you're about to fall asleep or when you wake up, like there's all these moments in the day. When you're at the supermarket, you can still do it. The point is that it's about integrating. So the word Tantra means to weave or loom or to pull things together. Mm-hmm. So Tantra means to extend within. Tantra means to weave and loom. So the question is, what is it? Is it about extending inside, or is it about taking all these things in life and putting them together? Jan says, yes. All the good, all the bad, all the challenging, all the easy, all of the stuff going on, it's put together in this beautiful weave that's unbreakable. That's the idea of a life well lived. Nothing's like measured. It's not curated. It's an experience of the awareness of folding everything in. Everything in. That's why, again, it's dangerous. So many spiritual systems consider Tantra dangerous because of that. Because it's not denying anything. It says yes to everything. And so when it comes to our sexuality, that's one of the pieces, is that our sexuality is on board all the time. The problem is we isolate it into certain times of the day or certain experiences that we have, and we wait for those moments. Instead of integrating in all aspects of life. The difference between Neo-Tantra is it still supports the idea that there's a time and a place. The larger teachings, the older teachings talk about it all the time. You never not are sexual. And that's something that I find that men really cherish when they start to experience that they don't have to wait for their sexual experiences, that it's going on all the time. So how would I do that? If I'm about to make a sales presentation, I'm going to actually start to pump my PC muscle, that muscle that you would stop your pee with. I'm going to start pumping that. I'm going to sit there and start pumping that with the intent. I'm really about to share some things that I really want people to hear. So I'm going to be using my sexual energy to create magnetism, to create connection, to create my own creativity as I speak. So I'll be using my sexual energy. It has nothing to do with orgasm, has nothing to do with sex. It's sexual energy, using it all the time. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does. No, it totally makes sense. And I just want to like tease this apart a little bit, because I think there's a lot of guys and my younger self. Well, there's a lot of guys out there in the world who have sex is such an isolated, segmented experience. Like they'll, and to hear this, they're like, what the fuck do you mean sex is happening all the time? Sex for me only happens when I'm like laying in my bed at 11 o'clock at night, looking at porn, whacking off, or having sex with my partner. Other than that, it's tucked in a nice little box. So to imagine bringing sex into the meeting or the boardroom, like, fuck no. Like, I'm not going to, like, I'm used to watching like threesome videos or cum shot videos or all this stuff. Like, that's what sex is to me. And so that's like, to those people.
Great.
What would you say? What would you say?
There was a documentary on HBO years ago called The Big O. And, they went on to share what's the largest sex organ? Do you remember what it was? Do you remember what they said?
It's definitely definitely not the penis.
It's not the penis. They said it was the brain. Yeah. And I said, balderdash. Bullshit. That's not true.
No?
Skin is.
The skin.
The great. That's the largest sex organ we have is skin. It's all over us.
Mm.
And so the problem is that most people are still relating their sexuality starts in the brain. And it doesn't start in the brain. It actually starts on the body level. That's the body gives the information to the brain. So that's usually the issue, is that they're waiting to become aroused, then to engage their sexual energy. What I'm inviting, what I'm suggesting, is that one could start to engage their sexual energy before arousal begins, by actually just allowing themselves to just touch their arm for no reason at all, just to bring some sensual nature to it, just to, again, to prime the pump, just to say, oh yeah, I have nerve endings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be in the sense of when you have a hot cup of liquid, you let the steam penetrate your nose. The sun, you put your head in just a way the sun hits the corners of your eyes. You have a really beautiful, sweet piece of fruit. You actually witness things in life that actually bring joy into your world. So Tantra talks about this. It says there's three different aspects of how to really find sexual awakening. It's pleasure, joy, and bliss. And then think of it like a pyramid. Like there's like this pyramid. Mm-hmm. And at the base of the pyramid is pleasure. And then in the middle is joy. And at the peak is bliss. Okay. So it says you just have to just flood your life with pleasures. Eat what you want, say what you want, touch what you want. Like, in other words, like if I'm walking in a store and my hand just goes across fabrics, there's no reason to do that other than it feels good. Have awareness while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Smell a flower for no other reason that it actually brings pleasure. Okay. The reason why is because not all pleasures will bring us joy. So what we're trying to do is increase the amount of pleasure in life so that we can then find joy, because joy will show up sometimes. When we're in pleasure, not all the time. Now, joy is where we've taken the external experience and we've gone internal with it. Now we're having an internal experience of that pleasure. This is a way to bring sex into the body on a different level, is to extend myself in all kinds of ways of pleasure, which, by the way, is sensual. It's redefining sex again. And then all of a sudden it starts to move into joy. Well, here's what happens. You continue to do joy things. Not all joy is going to lead you to bliss, but sometimes it does. And that's when you don't care about the external and you don't care about the internal, and everything just goes kind of incredible. It just, you snap into this awareness. It's like green lights. The life just is easy. It makes sense. It lines up. And of course people want to follow that, because that's where things feel easy. It feels connected. Sexuality can lead you to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go back to that concept of redefining sex, it means something to everyone. And that's where it is. So if to me, sex means, me engaging my arousal and sharing that with myself or another person. Okay. So it includes orgasm. It includes my cock being hard and all these kind of things. I have just limited the hell out of what sex is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I start to recognize, no, actually what it is when the body starts to become awakened. Well, the word Buddha means the one who's awakened. That's why Tantra uses this stuff. So sexuality awakens us. It actually blossoms us like a flower. So the idea is to use sexuality as a reminder of when we feel turned on to life. Always. Mm. All the different ways. That starts to really, really supercharge when you are aroused, when you are with someone and you get to share that. Imagine this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of ejaculating, just straight up, just as having a straight ejaculation, what if in your mind, instead of seeing the fantasy and closing your eyes, but your eyes are wide open and you imagine that you were just ejaculating amazing things in life, sharing that with the world, bringing forth like just the gifts through your ejaculate. And all of a sudden, all that shame can start leaving. And all that, like, I got to get the cloth and clean it all up. But instead, that it's actually a form of sacrifice in the most positive way. That you're sharing life force if you choose to ejaculate. Mm. that will change a person's experience right there instead of it's a mess.
Totally. Yeah. It's an offering.
It's an offering.
It's a gift. It's, yeah.
It's an offering. And if I'm choosing totally. To ejaculate into another person's body, if I'm inside of a woman, that's a temple at that moment. What do I want to offer at the yeah. temple? A fantasy of me being in a threesome and having a bukkake session? Or do I want to like really keep myself completely focused on what's going on? And I'm ejaculating like flowers and stars and incredible gifts to a person and watching them open up to that feeling that someone's actually really meeting them changes everything.
Yeah. And you know, the only time that really started to land for me was when I stopped habitually ejaculating out of default.
Right.
Like
agreed.
It took a little bit of time and then I started to actually feel that. And then I was like, holy shit, yeah. what have I been doing my whole life? I had no idea, you know?
All right. So the simple way, this is the back of a business card technique for ejaculation mastery. Okay. Think of a scale between 1 and 10. All right. While engaging your sexual energy, the optimum range is between 7 and 8. That's where you want to stay. Between seven is great, and eight is great. Yeah. So you want to stay. You want to be between 7 and 8, and you want to hold yourself into that position, because here's the problem: you get to 9+, you're going to ejaculate. There's no coming back from that one. Okay. So it's just like I was talking about before around, we had to learn our body when it comes to when it's time to use the bathroom. It's the same idea. So my body will give me signs of arousal peaking. So I want to stay within this range of 6, 7. I'm getting to an 8. Slow down. Stop. Just relax. Breathe. Be with it. And you might lose your erection or it might get softer, but I'm telling you something. It will come right back when you re-engage because you've primed the pump. It's not going anywhere. You haven't ejaculated. And staying within that place. And if you can get to peaks and come off those peaks, it's said that if you can do this 10 times within a single experience, you just bring yourself to an edge and pull back. If you choose to push yourself over the edge, that ejaculates, you're going to go right over your head. Your eyes are going to roll back. You're going to have a full, beautiful experience because what you've done is you've engaged so much sexual energy in your body. The release isn't just genital based. It'll be a full body release. And if you choose to stay with that and then go about your day without having that release, all of that energy stays in your body. And now all of a sudden you have more focus at work. You have better availability to how to navigate life. You're calmer. You're more solidly connected to the experience of the day. That's a choice that I choose to make. And when I do choose to ejaculate, it's a gift. It's a full understanding of what I'm offering as a gift, whether it's to myself or with another person. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Love that. That's rich.
Look, like that topic right there is a whole, you know, that's a whole thing, right? Just ejaculation mastery. There's so many ins and outs.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Hours and hours, different techniques, all kinds, exactly. all kinds of stuff there. Thank you for speaking to it. Sure. Yeah. And I'm sure you have, I don't know if you do, I've got guides on that. Like there's lots of that's techniques awesome. Out yeah, there.
Please.
There's one thing I'd like to circle back around and speak to. You mentioned that pyramid. There's the pleasure, joy, bliss pyramid. And I think, I don't remember exactly what you said, but like, that's a like sexual awakening can happen through those things. Right. And I just wanted to speak to something that I've seen.
Great.
In the modern tantra world and hear what your thoughts Great. Are on it. Okay. And my assessment, and I've seen this in myself as well, is that sometimes like the pleasure and the bliss seeking can it feel like yep. and seem like, oh, this is the way forward. And that the emotions of anger and sadness and grief and pain are less than or not good or something. Yep. So there's this sort of like cyclic seeking of the pleasure and bliss and joy that in turn bypasses or leads to disconnection or Agreed. Creates pain in interactions with people. And I'm just wondering how I know you spoke to emotions and the importance of them earlier, but I wonder if there's anything else you could say around like tying in the full spectrum yeah. of the human experience
sure.
and, or like if you've seen this in the modern tantra world and the impacts that it has had and any thoughts around of that course. And what should happen instead.
I have had that experience and it annoys me is that some of the more new age peers who are really just kind of offering bliss bunny like experiences. Mm-hmm. It's fun while they're in the laboratory called the event that they go to where they're offering tons and tons of techniques without slowing down to feel or to digest anything. So it's just another, it's just hammering the nervous system with lots of opportunities to feel something, which is just overload. But then afterwards, there's like a hangover that has to be dealt with energetically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so, so that's why it's challenging for me because actually the invitation is to slow everything down in Tantra, just to really savor, just to have 8-course meals instead of fast food. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. So the human experience is offered in a system called Rasa Tantra, R-A-S-A, Rasa Tantra, and that's the 9 emotions. And so basically what it's saying is all emotions are absolutely, totally valid, needed, and a gift. Okay? Anger, sadness, love, joy, neutrality, disgust. These are some of them. They're all very, very, very important. Here's the difference or the what Tantra speaks to. Anything after 20 minutes, you're using your own life force to maintain that emotion. So in other words, it's about if you're really in touch with your body, you'll know when your happiness, when your anger, when your love, when your fear comes up, but not to hold on to it, including happiness, love. In other words, if it comes, you have 20 minutes with it. That's in its natural state. Anything after it doesn't hurt you. It just causes you to have more responsibility to continue the feeling after that. And the reason why is because they're like clouds through the sky. There's just these little clouds that are going through the sky and you just want to be with, oh, wow, there's a cloud. This is joy. That's awesome. That's amazing. Oh, wow. That's wonder. I wonder what that love was all about. That's crazy. Uh-oh. There's comes some sadness. And these do not hammer us in life if we're allowing them to do their natural movements. So the hardest part about emotionality and where, yes, there is bypassing, but there's the flip side to that, which is also shadow stalking. So there's people who will actually go to the depths and the depressions of life because they're shadow stalking. That's the opposite problem of people who are.
Can you say what that means?
What's that?
Yeah, shadow stalking means.
Shadow stalking means I am constantly seeking the most painful, realistic, like I want to validate that's going on. So what they're doing is they're saying it's so important to feel the realness of life that they're not allowing the sweetness of life. They're just eating bitter poison to prove that they can. And by the way, I get it. That's shadow stalking. So I'm constantly seeking my triggers. I'm just doing my stuff to clear and heal and all this kind of stuff. But there's no sweetness to the life. So Tantra goes, okay, wait a minute. These are extremes. So the idea is that you can experience all of your emotions and it invites you to do that with an awareness. You got about 20 minutes of the gift that will be the emotion. Anything after that, you now have to identify with that emotion to hold on to it. I am angry instead of I feel angry. In fact, I'm doing a whole course on this one, like a whole a webinar just on this whole concept right here, because I really feel that this is a foundational piece that's not offered a lot in the Tantra communities, is around how to effectively and with health let all emotions live without bypassing or without shadow stalking. And so I don't know any spiritual systems. I'm serious. I study a lot of spiritual systems, not a lot of spiritual systems that say your anger is welcome, like 100% welcome. And the reason why is because most people stuff it and then it Jengas and it comes out all weird. Blah, blah. It's a big like emotional vomit. No one wants to be around that.
Totally. Yeah. Or it doesn't come out and it creates dis-ease.
Oh, geez, Louise. Dis-ease. Yeah. Oh, that's going to affect your sexuality, by the way. Totally.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same with jealousy or sadness or love. A lot of men are a little bit like, ooh, I love, you know, and it's if there's not a free flowing experience of this stuff, then it does get weird. That's all. It's okay. It's okay. And that can be changed in a nanosecond. It can be so shifted so quickly.
Yeah. I love that. The emotional you're talking about like being skillful with your emotions, emotional intelligence, emotional skillfulness. Like that sounds interesting. Like I would like to come to that workshop.
Okay.
When is you that workshop?
I get you. I know the guy that does it. But, yeah. But it's a really beautiful experience to understand why to be a masterful lover is also to be connected to your emotions. Because it, remember, same area of energy in the body. So if I'm emotionally unavailable, I'm also going to be sexually unavailable.
Yeah, definitely. I remember at one tantra school that I studied, they talked to, you know, there's the chakra map of the body, right? You have the seven chakras. And in the second chakra where there is the creativity and the sexuality, they said, imagine if you're a guy, when you don't ejaculate and you're building up your sexual energy, that you're building a reservoir there and you actually have more to pull from. That's right. It's like a balloon or an expanding lake or something like that. And every time you ejaculate, that goes away and you're just, your capacity to experience emotions and experience sexual pleasure and that flavor of life is just diminished because your volume is gone, you know, metaphorically, but also literally. And that was helpful for me just to visualize, oh, there's a balloon expanding in that area. And every time I ejaculate, it deflates. Deflation isn't bad, but if I'm habitually deflating, I think maybe we
follow
hammered
that that metaphor. A lot of times they have just a tiny little balloon at first. And if you went too far, it would pop, which would be problematic, which is why they're releasing, because it feels so intense to have that buildup, right? Yeah. So it's about patience and about understanding there's muscles that have to be grown here. Okay. So if I go to the gym and I haven't been in the gym in a while, it's going to hurt, right? If I go to the gym, if I work out, it's going to hurt. I haven't been in the gym in a while. And so the idea is to like, that's because I'm building new muscle. And it's the same thing with our sexual energy. Like, look, if you haven't been to the gym in a while, in the sense, or maybe ever, then it's gonna be weird at first because there's new muscles that are being built or there's new experiences that are being added in. And to try to figure out like, oh, I should be exactly like this right out of the gate. That's our Western mind bullshit again. It's a process. And by the way, if we're talking about sexuality, why not be in the process of sexuality and having patience with it? Like, that's pretty cool. That's fun. Let's do that, right? The idea is to give ourselves patience so that, you know, if you ejaculate in 5 seconds, it's okay. All right? Just have awareness to it. Start to think about that scale between 1 and 10. Understanding the next time you do it, maybe when you get to that peak real fast, just stop. Just let your hand off and breathe and not worry about what happens in the result. And then come back to it and just giving yourself permissions to make all kinds of awarenesses. That's it. Just find awareness while you're doing this. I think that Taoism hammers people with that they have to have an experience and it has to be like this. And a lot of people get thrown off by it because it's so hardcore. And that's why those women were giving those answers. It's performative, systematic. Right? Tantra's like, no. It's just an experience. Just have awareness through the experience. That's it. There's a lifetime of experiences to have. Enjoy. I love that. I love that. That feels so much more inviting to me and like, oh, I can actually succeed in that.
Yeah. Interesting. Sean, thank you so much.
It's been a great
conversation. Yeah. I'd like to circle back to one thing you said earlier, because I thought it was such an interesting, I'd never visualized this concept before. If you're watching this on YouTube, you saw Sean's hand motions, but if you didn't, you were talking about they're sort of like orgasmic orbits and you had two hands together. You're saying, say it's a man and a woman making love together and the woman has an orgasm. Well, you said that her orbit is very quick to come back to connection or to arousal, whatever it was.
Yes.
But then you said the man ejaculatory orgasm, it goes way out here and it takes him a lot longer to come back. And I just thought that was really interesting and a beautiful way to think about it. Cause like in my body, I experienced that to be true. You also mentioned that men have a pressure release valve that way and women don't. And I'm imagining that you were just specifically talking about how the ejaculatory orgasm works for men and how there isn't quite an equivalent for the female body.
Okay. So again, very quickly on that one. If we're talking about, I'll go a little woo. So again, the most people understand the chakras as they rise in energy. It starts with the base of the chakras and goes all the way to the crown. So it's like, it goes from the anus all the way to the top of the head. Okay. So that's the typical teachings on how energy moves and energetically through our body. That's the masculine path. The feminine path starts at the top of the head and goes down to the anus. So what's going on with that is that for men, our top thing to experience is spirituality. But for women, it's trust in humanity. That's their top thing to experience. Mm. But the problem with all of this is for sex, all men have to do is have trust. I'm not going to die. I'm safe. I'm good. I can move my sexual energy. I don't have to have communication. I don't have to have connection. I don't have to have an understanding of self. All I have to do is I'm safe. I can move my sexual energy. But for women, they have to have a spiritual connection, intuitive connection. They have to be able to communicate. They have to feel that they're actually in a form of relationship at whatever level that is, that they have a sense that someone knows, sees, and understands who they are. And then the waterworks begin. So there's a much more journey for the feminine to engage their sexual energy. But unfortunately, what's happened is women have gotten to a place where they have a spiritual connection with someone, and then they go into potential. They go into potential with men, and they start right where the third eye is. That's the sixth chakra. And that's potential. And they bypass all the other chakras and go straight to their sex in hope that they'll come back up together. But an ejaculation doesn't allow that. An ejaculation starts when a man has an ejaculation, they go right back to their first chakra. It resets. And that's why the journey takes so long for us. And that's also the sad part, that women are doing that, is that they're going into the potential of what a man is, not who they are. Because they also want to have sex too. They also want to engage in these wonderful activities. But a lot of men aren't allowing them to go through their natural process to hit that level of where their natural sex is living. So it all feels so
clear. So is that what you would...
What's that?
Yeah. Is that what you would say? Like, is that what you would say men's contribution is to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So it allowing men to also be trusting that you'll be able to move your sex, just allow more parts of you to show up within that sexual engagement to meet their partner that they want to engage in. I don't care if it's a one night stand or if it's a long-term relationship. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with my self-pleasuring practices, is I don't need to do any of that stuff. I can just arouse and move. Okay. And so I have a lot more ejaculations that have occurred on my chest with myself than I have with another human being. So that's where the reframe starts to come in. It's like, wait a minute. Can I experience my own self-practice the same way I would engage if I was with a person? So slowing down and allowing the engagement to the rest of my body instead of just my sexual area, my genitals, or that pleasure drive.
Yeah.
And that's the deeper invitation right there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Cool. John, thank you so much. Such an interesting conversation. If people want to, like, do you have events coming up? How can people work with you? Or I think you wrote a book. Is it Tantra Quest? Is that a book?
No. Tantra Quest is Daniel Odier. It was funny. Okay. My business and his book came out almost within 2 months of each other. Daniel Odier is a tantric teacher out of France. And Tantra Quest. I do have a book, but the book is Pathways to Love, 28 Days to Self-Love. So it's an experience of how to love yourself, how to have a deeper relationship with yourself. That was my first path in Tantra. I have a website called Tantra Quest. That's my company. I'm based in San Diego, but I travel all over the world. The majority of my work is supporting teachers. That's the majority of what I do, but I do work with everyone. And I try to keep myself really financially and energetically available to people. And I do webinars and these kind of things. Like I said, I have a webinar coming up in December that's about having emotional freedom, just kind of like that topic we were talking about. Those 5 days, 1 hour a day. And again, that's a real simple thing. In fact, I'll go ahead and kick out a coupon code for your audience.
Sweet. Yeah, that would be great. We can put all that info in the show notes as well.
We'll just make it Taylor. Cool. It'll be the code Taylor.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sean. And thank you for listening. And thank you for watching if you're watching us on YouTube. And if you have any questions or comments or something came up for you during this conversation, like, please go to the YouTube version and let me know. Ask a question there. I'll get back to you. And I can direct you to Sean, or you can reach out to Sean too via email. But I'd say YouTube is the place to start for questions and comments. And man, yeah, what an interesting conversation. I've got some stuff to ponder from this too. Cool. Thanks again. And thanks for listening. And I will see you all next time.